Welcome to the PDL's official podcast, hosted by me, the commissioner and the owner of the Delco Dreamers, Tommy Yu, and...
I'm Darren from the Carolina Thunder. It's time to sit back, relax, and get ready for us to get off topic as possible.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode, and you know what? Your ears are not playing tricks on you. Hopefully the quality of my mic is high because I made a pretty hefty purchase on Black Friday, but I literally just set it up, and I don't even know how it's going to sound because, like I said, I set it up, ran no tests, and we're just off and running, and I haven't had time to kind of play around with it. There's all these different buttons that I don't really understand, so you guys are just going to be the guinea pigs. Hopefully this point forward, the quality sounds better and better. But this week, we two surprises. One, we have our special co-host that I feel like is the favorite amongst the PDL. Greggy, welcome to the show. Darren, not able to make it. How are you, bud?
I'm pretty good. I don't mean to brag, but you know, I had spaghetti tonight and I wore a white t-shirt. So I'm pretty much a hard ass.
Oh, man. Just a clean t-shirt. Oh, meatballs, too, or just the spaghetti?
There was, like, ground turkey in it.
So okay, nice.
Increase the chance of splash.
Man, did your girlfriend watch you just eat it completely? And she's like, yep, that's why. That's why he's mine. That's skill.
No, she wasn't even home, unfortunately.
She just recorded. No biggie. But the second surprise is we got a surprise podcast that dropped. I told you, Gregory, right before we started to record, doing my morning routine in the bathroom. And then out of nowhere, I got a little message from McFatty saying, Tommy, check your email. You got an early Christmas present. And I saw that's usually when he messages me when there is a podcast. And you know, because we're kind of crunched on time, we didn't really listen to it yet. I mean, I'm a little bit, maybe about halfway through because I went to listen to it. And then a work meeting came and I was like, oh, man, we're going to do an episode. And after that episode dropped, I think I even messaged you saying, you know what? I know we've been pushing back this episode. Should we even do one? Because, you know, Brett and Brian kind of have our back. And I was like, you know what? I still have a pocket of time and I'm never going to give up an opportunity to talk to you. So, yeah, kind of forced you to be like, you know what? Eat that spaghetti, but I'm going to need your time. But I know you said you haven't gotten there yet. I only listened to half of it, and I did listen to when they covered when they talked about you. So I think you're going to be pretty happy. I know you're like, well, tell me what I need to know. Am I going to have to fire back? I was like, no. They said nice things. But yeah, I'm excited for you to be able to hear it because, well, for me, I'm mostly excited because I'm usually just behind the mic, right? Rarely the audience. I know I talk about this all the time, but very excited to finish off the episode. I'm smiling ear to ear, so I'm still trying to put the pressure on Max. Greg, have you ever heard an episode that the Oregon guys have done? Like, when the league first started, they might have done, like, one or two episodes. They called it the Quadcast because there's four of them from Oregon that kind of did everything. It's the three that you know now. It was, Welch, Max, Mike, and, oh, God, who was the other one? I think, was it
the Nemesis
Joe?
Who took my team? Guy, one of them who ran my team into the ground.
No, wait, maybe. Oh man, my memory's just so bad. Well, that's also compounded by the lack of sleep I've been getting. So I'm just happy that I even almost remember. But anyway, did you hear any episodes yet, or have your tenure here so far only been podcasts from us and some of the disrespected episodes?
When I joined, the first episode you did was with Max. It was like a history of the PDL or something like that. And that was probably the beginning of January, like 2022.
Gotcha. Yeah, they did an independent one, similar to how Brian and Brett are just like dropping these fire pods. They did that as well. And they keep kind of flirting that it might come back. But I don't know. I'm hoping it gets there, but we'll see. But regardless, I know we're kind of lily yelling, but I'm just happy to be chatting to someone that isn't just my son or Emily. That's kind of how it goes. But let's jump into kind of how this week went. There were a couple of trades, Greggy, that kind of happened. So let's kind of attack that first because that's, you know, how we do it here. And of course, no surprise, Darren was in the trade news. The Carolina Thunder got Jerry Jeudy and a 2024 third from Hollywood and McFatty, and he finally traded Sutton, literally the worst kept secret in the PDL. Everyone knew you went to trade him, along with a fourth. What are your thoughts here? Because over in Denver, it's very clear that Sutton is the guys, but we also know that Darren has been wanting to get off the Sutton train for a while because I believe that is a part of that Amon-Ra trade that he's trying to distance himself from. So sorry, Darren. Had to bring that up, but it's no surprise that he did this because A, Jeudy is younger and we know how much of a factor that is for Darren. I don't need to tell you that, but he was able to get some draft picks as well. So I'm really interested to hear your takeaway from this one, man.
I guess I would rather have Courtland Sutton. So it makes sense it's not from Michael. Yeah, I was gonna say it's from Brian, right? I was looking at the second trade. It makes sense for Ryan because Sutton's performing better this year. I don't even know. I know Jerry Jeudy's younger, but I don't even know if long term I would want him. Like, I just don't care.
Well, you don't like getting four catches for like 32 yards a game? You don't like that?
Is he even averaging that much
this year? I know he literally only catches the ball like three or four times a game, which literally means like once a quarter he might get a catch on a drive. Like, that's terrible.
I didn't really like him that much coming in. Like, I think his route running is overblown and not that good, and then he's not a good athlete on top of it. So just, I don't see it with him. I would, if I was Darren, I would have rather just had like a roster spot or something, just maybe getting another pick coming back. But I guess the question for me here is, Darren always has a guy that he's just trying to get rid of on his team. Before Sutton, it was like Zach Moss for a while. He was shopping like Michael Carter. Last year, he's trying to get rid of Chuba Hubbard at all costs. Like, who do you think that guy is now? Like, who should the league expect six trades in their inbox in the next week?
That is an excellent question. So I'm actually going to pull up his roster because he's going to have to shift that focus somewhere, right? Now that he's out, he's just going to be happy with Jeudy's welcome into his locker room. And now he's going to look around and be like, all right, who is next on my shit list? He has been pushing.
Mike already posted the Treylon Burks. He wanted Waddle for Treylon Burks.
Oh, he's trying to get. I must have missed that.
I think Mike called him out in the chat for this. Was a couple months. This was maybe a month and a half ago.
Oh, gotcha. No. Gotcha.
But I don't think anyone liked Burks that much. Like, I didn't, but.
No, I still think he's going to hold on because I feel like Burks is kind of entering that territory in the PDL that no one, it's not that no one likes him, but no one's getting excited over him. Darren was like the most excited coming. Well, obviously the most excited when he was coming out. So it's hard for me to see him moving him. I know this is obviously, I was looking at Fournette. He tried to push Fournette to me when he was a free agent. And after he
Fournette,
signed,
I think he's just going to drop him.
I think that's just going to be a straight up drop. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I can totally see that.
He's going to be young tight end. Look at him. He's 24. He's a top 10 tight end. I'm like, I don't give a shit, man.
I want to preemptively get ahead of the fact that he's going to go over to for any tight end.
He sucks. Yeah, well, don't try to sell me a tight end. So,
if I ever see you speaking highly of a tight end in the PDL chat, I'd be like, someone took his phone. I don't know what happened here.
I want to love Brock Bowers. If the way I would like a tight end is actually if they use them more
not
creatively,
like
Jonnu Smith had a little bit where he was like he would get running back carries, and then
he's got like a T-back where he's almost like a fullback role where he kind of just did like a little bit of everything.
Yeah, so he's not strictly a tight end. So I could like get around it. It's like an asterisk. Like, he's a tight end, but he runs the ball too.
Yeah, that's what I thought with Chigga Conquo, but I feel like an idiot. But obviously, we're talking about two different things because Bowers actually looks like one. He's been the best tight end in college football for what, like the past 2 years? Three years probably. Like, he's unbelievable. So I completely agree. But hold on, we are going to be talking about your draft picks soon. So before we get there, there is a couple more trades that did happen. But just to kind of recap, yeah, Darren getting Jeudy doesn't surprise me because, obviously, you guys know Darren and I have been friends for a long time, and he was a huge fan of Jerry Jeudy coming out. It's very evident that he has not lived up to the expectations or draft capital that was kind of spent on him. But Darren is probably trying to do anything to get away from Sutton. So it does kind of make sense. It's just funny that they're both on the same team and one is outperforming the other currently, but the other one has age and that draft capital. So it's no surprise that Darren went over for Jeudy because, once again, I know the history of how much he liked him coming out when he was at Bama. So it's, you know, kind of poetic that he ends up on Darren's team because I know Darren's going to take care of him and hoping that he does turn it around. But let's jump on because we have two more trades, a little bit more minor, but this one could be actually kind of big. Hollywood and McFaddy got Jaylen Warren from your Steelers, Greggy. Got him from the California Earthquake and Michael, but Michael did get a 2024 second, my own, and a 2024 fourth. I have been dying to know your takeaway for this one because you have pretty solid takes when it comes to Steelers players. And let's be honest, I pay pretty close attention to what you say because I'm sure you follow them a little bit more closer than the average person. So, yeah, Brian gets Jaylen Warren. I know running backs are pretty hard to come across. And Jalen Warren kind of hits that threshold where he's kind of young, could be pretty good. Brian did something similar to this last year. We got Tony Pollard. Not saying that's what Jalen Warren is. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But it's pretty cool that he's kind of finding these pretty efficient running backs a little bit younger and trying to get them before their value might be at an all-time high.
Well, I'd like to clarify that I'm pretty sure Jalen Warren's actually older than Najee Harris, and it's like Darren was shitting on Najee Harris for being old. So I think he was like 5 years, and then he was like undrafted free agent after 5 years. So he's not that young. He's like 25. He's not old, like for normal people, but for Darren, he's old.
I think Najee's 25 too, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, they're both 25. But oh no, okay. He's a couple months younger than Najee, I guess.
I mean, they're essentially the same age. Let's just say that because I feel like a lot of people might have the misconception of, oh, he's only like 23, 24, but you're absolutely right. He is 25.
Yeah, they're both 25. I don't know. I think the late second is pretty fair. He's a start, like any startable running back is probably worth a late second. Mm-hmm. At this point in the season and even moving forward, he's been good for 2 years. I think the part where I maybe disagree is people keep posting the efficiency stats, and I think it's very similar to Tony Pollard, who Brian also had, in the fact that you want Warren in his current role. He's not as elusive if you're going to like smash him between the tackles 15 times a game. It's just not going to happen, and I think he's best as a complimentary back. I don't think he's a guy that's going to get that kind of work. He's 5'8", 215, and he doesn't even look that big on the field, so you need him in space. I think this was made before the Matt Canada.
Yes, firing, it was.
I think. Okay. So then it got a little bit better since then, but I still don't even know after 1 week, like what the usage is going to land up being. I think he's in the like running back 3/flex territory. I wouldn't want him as my running back 2. The team likes him. Like he's a great guy and that kind of stuff. So I think he'll have a role, but I don't think, one, you should want him to have a bigger role than he has now. And two, I don't think he's going to have that. Pittsburgh is always going to have like a big running back between the tackles guy. And I don't think they're going to move on from Najee, despite what some people in like the fantasy community think. I think the team thinks a lot more highly of him than
second contract is what you're saying, Ben.
Yeah, but he's still even like 2 years out from that, I think. So maybe they probably won't pick up the 5th-year option, but I don't know what it is for running backs. It's probably not that much, to be honest. But
yeah, I can't imagine it being very much at all.
Yeah, so I don't know. Either way, even if they got rid of Najee, they would bring someone else in. So Warren's never going to have the backfield to himself. So I think he is what he is now, and that's a solid like depth running back. And for a late second-round pick, you're probably not going to find that. So I think it's fair for both teams. Michael gets draft capital, which he obviously wants, and Brian gets a running back for his playoff push.
Yeah, I think it's one of those classic trades that it absolutely fits the identity of what Brian's trying to do and obviously what Michael's trying to gain. So you love to see these kind of trades happen. So last but not least, final trade. I got Desmond Ridder, unfortunately, for 2026 third. Definitely saw that I needed an extra quarterback. I kind of looked around at the market. Didn't think I could get any other quarterback for that 2026 third other than kind of Ridder. I understand that his future as a starter might be limited, maybe even this season, but that's kind of all I was looking at right now. Just I know I have a bye with Lamar this week, so he is plugged in currently, but he's up against the Jets, so I don't even know if I'm going to start him at all, but it's kind of insurance, but it's kind of pretty crappy insurance right now. But it's kind of the mentality of just being like, hey, Hopefully this will work out. Hopefully he could give me a couple of games if he is ever brought up. But essentially because, as you know, I lost Jimmy Garoppolo, which was kind of serving as a similar role. Not saying that he's a world beater, but he's a warm body that could throw the ball a couple of times. Unfortunately for Ridder, he's not very good at that. So it should be interesting to kind of see how this goes. I know this is kind of me taking too much time, but hey, I was included in the trade, so I get to talk a little bit more. But yeah, your takeaways here, Greggy.
Let's be honest, you never had Jimmy Garoppolo. He was never actually playing. So I don't know. I'll be honest here. I think Ridder's a little bit undervalued. I inquired about him earlier in the year from Michael. the price was like a little bit too much. This is before he got benched, so the price was a little
I think I did too. I think he wanted a little bit more when I reached out initially. So then when I saw this change up, I think it was a third and some fab, right? I think I didn't add in. I think he got some fab too, but yeah, it's essentially a third. It's a third fab.
It doesn't show up in the interface, so it's pretty impossible to.
Yeah, I think it was like $50 or something like that. But that's obviously not the takeaway for this trade. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Go on.
Yeah, I think he was showing a little bit of improvement. He needs to stop turning the ball over. I don't think at this point he didn't seem like he learned that much last week, but you see some really good plays from him. And it just seems like the NFL has no patience for young quarterbacks. So it seems like unless he gets really hot towards the end of the year, they're probably going to move on to a different quarterback. Mm-hmm. I don't know where they're picking in. Let me pull up Tankathon now. Are they picking in the top 10? No, okay, they won.
They're almost in playoff position, actually.
Yeah, but if they drop out of the playoff position, they would drop into the top 10. So
that's fair. I'm just
I guess we'll see what happens. I've seen Jaden Daniels linked a lot to.
I have been hearing that too.
Yeah, I mean, we're so far away from that, and that's probably. I think he's going to be a guy who rises. So I don't know that he's going to go. You know, outside the top 15.
I think what you're trying to say is it won't take much, even if they spent like a day two, day three draft pick on a quarterback to be like, oh no, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I agree.
But I would also say I think that a lot of the fantasy bias kind of goes against Arthur Smith. And I don't agree with like a lot of the stuff that people say in the chat about how he's a terrible coach. I think he's a terrible coach for your fantasy football team, but I actually don't think he's that terrible of a coach in an NFL context.
Mm-hmm.
And he was validated a little bit. Like he put Heinicke in and then he wasn't really any better. So I think he's just trying to do what he can with what he has.
Mm-hmm.
And I also, I don't know, like the Bijan usage and stuff. I don't know if he was sick, you know, he had the migraines and that kind of stuff. And if they're not going to really compete in the playoffs, why are you going to run Bijan into the ground anyway? So I don't know. I don't think he's a great coach, but I don't think he's like bottom tier. He's not Staley or anything like that. So I wouldn't be surprised if he came back next year. I think he already had an endorsement from the owner. I don't know if that means anything, but this is a long-winded way of saying, I think Ridder has some potential. He could get replaced outright, but I think he'll probably be in some sort of like competition next year. And if he can just stop turning the ball over and execute the offense in like a game manager type role, I think he could come back next year. But for a third round pick, realistically, in most leagues, third round pick is not going to get you a young starting quarterback. So I think it's a pretty fair trade. I think Michael just wanted off in case he got benched again and then he loses a starting quarterback for nothing. So I think it's fair. And you obviously needed some sort of quarterback because even though he's not good, he's still scoring a lot more than your like flex options on most weeks, I think.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think if he was able to stumble upon, I'm not even saying like a long-term starting position next year or anything like that, but even if he was able to start a couple of games, to me, that's a little bit of icing. I'm just really hoping he could hold on to the job for at least the remainder of this year, just so I could have a little bit of the insurance. But yeah, that's enough talking about me because I know we have a pretty fun episode to jump into. So let's talk about something a little bit more fun for you, Greggy. Let's talk about the prediction record. You're kind of pulling away at 60-12. You have a 3-game lead on both Darren and I. Darren and I are now tied at 57-15. So it must feel pretty good to be at the top. So
thank you, Tanish.
right. And I was going to dunk on Darren because I know Darren had a lead on me. So I was like, oh my God, wait, how did I catch him? And then I was going to dunk on him. Then I realized that he bet on himself against Max. I was like, oh, nothing but respect for that. So I can't even, you know, be happy that I tied with Darren or anything like that. So regardless, we are 3 back. So from now on, I'm going to have to start pivoting regardless if I like it or not. And that's starting this episode. And I've been talking about it for a while. So I'm making hard pivots now. By hard pivots, I mean, there's only one game where we're not unanimous. And so I'm either going to do well and slowly catch you or I'm just going to completely fall off even more. I guess that will be a case study. But let's jump in to the one takeaways, Greggy, and we'll jump to your game first. It was Southern Oregon Smoke taking on the Austrian Oaks. I'm sure you weren't expecting to win, and that's not how it went. Michael came out, or I don't know why I'm calling Michael. Let's just call him Servas. Servas came out victorious. What was your takeaway here, Greggy?
For him, you're... Oh, never mind. Oh man, I'm reading the document wrong. My takeaway for him was that I think his season's over. I think he's done. He's theoretically
out of the wild card race is what you're saying. Isn't he third right now?
He's behind Brian right now, but he didn't get Jefferson back this week. Jefferson's on a bye now this week coming up, and Josh Allen's on a bye. And Josh Allen just put up 40 points last week, and I think that was like half of his total. No, he had 120. So it was a third. He just lost a third of his total points for the week. And I don't think he's going to be able to keep up with Jeff or Brian. And I think he's pretty happy to move on and just kind of get into draft season. So he won this week, but I don't think he put up enough points to gain anything back on. I mean, he lost ground actually 9 points to both Jeff and Brian. So I'm pretty sure unless Jefferson comes back and Allen drops another 40 something points in week 14, I think his season is probably over at this point.
So if what you're saying is accurate and he doesn't make the postseason, this would be literally the second season in a row where he kind of underperforms, right? I feel like in the preseason ranking, I'm not saying he's ranked like super highly, but definitely in the playoff picture. And I know he was last year as well. And so this would be the second time where whether it's injuries, whether it's bad luck, but you know, every team kind of faces that, but it's the second season in a row of him missing the playoff if it were to happen that way. So that's definitely got to be a little bit disappointing for Mike, but it could be also a theme. If anything starts to go wrong, he kind of is, you know, he's not too reluctant to throw in the towel. Would you agree? Or am I just trying to stoke the flames a little bit here?
No, I think he's, I don't know. Last year, I get it. Like Trey Lance kind of went down and he dealt with a lot of injuries and stuff mm-hmm, last year, mm-hmm. but for 2 years in a row, I would have expected like a little bit more urgency. Like, oh shit, it's happening again. Like, let me try to make some moves. But it seems like he's just going to draft his guys. He's content drafting his guys, trading them away when they get to 27, 28. And if he gets, you know, if he has a good season and his guys hit, then it's great. If not, he's content to just move on and, you know, think of the next year and keep piling up draft picks, just sort of play like the keep trade cut game, right? Like just always have the highest value. Mm-hmm. And if it hits, it hits and it's great. If not, he's not going to be too upset, I think, if he makes the playoffs, because he'll always have some picks to fall back on. So, I mean, I get it. Like drafting is really fun. So I do enjoy that. And as much as I want to win, I mean, it sounds hilarious me saying I want to win just for my record, but I do want to win, but I also do enjoy the draft season. So I can see that perspective, and it just adds an interesting dynamic in the league where certain people think in completely different ways. And if we all thought the same, it would be extremely boring and no one would trade with me because they would have players that I liked on another team and they wouldn't trade them because they also liked them. So just adds like another layer to the league. And, you know, if you're trying to shop a young player, you can go to Mike and maybe get some older players in return. So it's just, I think he is who he is at this point, and I don't expect many adjustments. Even next year, if he starts to lose, he'll probably do the same thing, I would guess.
Yeah, and speaking of these draft picks, that's kind of my takeaway for you, Greg. I know we already talked at length at some of the blossoming players on your team, the kind of the guys that you're keeping your eye on and their development. But
all two of them.
On two of them, but I'm sure you're keeping a very strong pulse on the upcoming draft class, because I know something that I feel like a lot of the pundits are kind of discovering is every single draft class is loaded until the draft actually happens. You're like, oh, well, it didn't really meet expectations. I haven't been keeping that close of an eye on the draft class because evidently I don't have any picks almost forever. So can you enlighten us, give us maybe a little bit of an update on kind of how that's going? Does it look like it's going to live up to the hype that has been established for quite a while now?
I think if you need a quarterback or quarterback or wide receiver, it will. If you need a running back, it's not a great year. I don't think any would go in the first round of a rookie draft. Maybe. When you see draft capital, like Travion Henderson would sneak into the back half of the first round, but it looks like a good quarterback class, even though some of the guys who I thought might like come on during the season, like Quinn Ewers, he's seemingly going to go back to school, but you have top two, like very set quarterbacks with Williams and May. And then you have Jaden Daniels, who's going to be in the mix. JJ McCarthy, who's younger and shows talent, but doesn't need to do much in Michigan. You have Bo Nix and Michael Penix, who are, like fifth year seniors and haven't done a lot, but then this year they're on like Heisman level pace of production. And at wide receiver, you just have, it's basically the inverse of last year where there's a lot of good players. I'm not shitting on last year's draft class, but the knock was like they were outside of JSN, there weren't like a lot of top prospects. But this year they're also big. Like there are a lot of guys over 6 feet, over 200 pounds, more like X receivers rather than like the Tank Dell, Josh Downs, Zay Flowers, you know, kind of, I don't want to say gadget because that's kind of like underselling what they do, but yeah, just bigger outside receivers this year, on top of Marvin Harrison Jr., who I don't think I need to speak about. I think everyone knows about him. So it looks like a good draft class. And I'm very happy because that was sort of my intuition last year when I started to trade out of the 2023 class, that maybe that draft wasn't as hyped as it was made out to be. And then 2024 actually panned out. So I'm pretty happy so far, but I still have another 7 months before I get to use these picks. So still kind of bored.
I am envious because I can only imagine how much those draft picks are going to appreciate in value, especially if it's going to be a draft class with, I'm not saying quarterback heavy, but those are kind of the headliners. Let's not lie to ourselves right now. Yes, Marvin Harrison Jr. looks great, and that other one wide receiver, I'm forgetting the name of, that they're comparing with Marvin Harrison Jr. as being one of the top receivers in the draft class, are very hype, but it's really the pure quantity of quarterbacks that may go in the first, I feel like is going to help you out, because we all know the price of quarterbacks. So come draft time, boy, oh boy. I know I said I only listened to about half of the Disrespected podcast that just dropped, but they were kind of speculating on what you're going to do with your draft picks too. And Brian, sorry to spoil it for you, Greggy, but Brian made a good point saying, hey, he might not spend it all. I mean, we all know how expensive draft picks are and how valued they are during the draft or even right before the draft. So don't be surprised if, you know, you start flipping things for great veterans and then use and compound that with some of the draft picks you already have and really become a contender right before our eyes real, real quick. And so that's why my takeaway is, obviously, yes, we could keep talking about, you know, the one or two players, but it's definitely the draft picks and the draft class, really. So I'm really going to look forward to kind of doing that as kind of your takeaways, maybe moving forward, maybe even picking Darren's brain on, you know, the pulse of the class right now, because I know Darren does pay attention a lot to college football as well. So let's continue and talk about the next game. We're talking about the California Earthquakes taking on the Delco Dreamers, my own. And hey, would you look at that? Michael is kind of starting to put together some games. I know he's been struggling really to kind of even put up 100, but this week he was definitely able to do so. And it looks like Kyler is, you know, really looking like Kyler. You would never know that he had an injury that kept him out for essentially a big portion of this season. But that being said, my takeaway for Michael definitely has to be the Mike Evans revelation, really. Like, he is having a phenomenal season, and I know it's being talked about on a lot of other podcasts as well, but he has, whether it's a special connection with Baker, but he is so good to the point that he's making Chris Godwin irrelevant. Like, I feel like Cade Otton is almost more valuable than Chris Godwin at certain points, and Mike Evans is not just vacuuming targets, but he is still showing that big playability at the, is he 31 now, maybe? But he is at an age that would make Darren throw up in his mouth. But Mike Evans is pretty much having a career year. I think I heard somewhere or read somewhere that he's having, wow, more technical difficulties, but this time it was my Wi-Fi. My gosh. I'm sorry, man. Maybe there's going to be another Disrespected episode that kind of dunks on me there, which is merited. But all I was saying is, yeah, I saw somewhere that Mike Evans is essentially having a better season this year with Baker Mayfield up to this point than any other season that he had with Tom Brady. And Tom Brady threw the ball like 7,000 times in a season. So that's pretty impressive to see. So the biggest knock on Mike Evans has always been that he's kind of boom or bust. He would have games where he scores like, you know, three touchdowns and 170 yards. In the next game, he might give you three fantasy points. But this year, he's kind of matching his consistency with the big play ability. And once again, he's pretty much at an age that would make Darren throw up in his mouth. I don't know if that part was recorded or if I got cut off before I made that joke. I probably made that joke twice already.
Yeah,
so
you made it. Yep.
Man, that's cringy. That is so cringy. But just to move forward, that's kind of my takeaway, is kind of giving a little bit of flowers to Mike Evans, because I know we're in a league that really loves the youngins. So let's throw a little bit more appreciation to the veterans that are really having, a solid season. So I'd be interested to see what Mike Michael does with Mike Evans, whether he holds him or moves him. Because if he does move him, some team is going to get a monumental upgrade. So with that being said, what is your takeaway from these games?
I think it's going to be similar to when you talked about my game. Like, it's your team is just keeps on trucking, and like, there's not a lot of takeaways other than it's almost time for you to compete. Like, your real season starts in 2 weeks from now. It's great to see some of your players come back, but you know, you also have guys like Kupp who fell off a little bit. Obviously losing Mark Andrews hurts.
Well, I don't think I ever had Kupp. I feel like ever since I traded for him, I maybe got one game where he was kind of good.
Games, maybe.
Every other game I start him, he's hurt me so much, and I'm so stupid. I keep falling into the fallacy of like, oh, I can't bench Cooper. Yes,
gotta start him.
I could totally do it, but I just don't have the balls to do it. But sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
No, but I think in general, like, for you, and I'm gonna spoil Max's breakdown later. Like, your performance week to week, you know, you're in the range of putting up like 150 to 180 points. I know you had a couple down weeks, but in general, you guys, at this point, you're just hoping to get through a week without injuries. You both probably have the bye, and you just need to get through it healthy. And you'd like some of your guys to have some form going into the playoffs. So it's nice to see 180 points. Your quarterbacks stay healthy. For you, that's probably the key. Like, if Hurts and Lamar are healthy going into the playoffs, I think you've got like a 40% chance of winning, and it's probably the same with Max. Like, you both have a 40% chance of winning if you both have your two main quarterbacks healthy going into the playoffs. So for you, I don't think you picked up any injuries this week that I'm aware of. So I'm going to chalk that up as a good week. Yeah, and Kyren came back, and he caught immediately right back into the game. So you got to be happy with that. Picked up a running back off waivers for free. So yeah, I think you got to be happy with the week, and just pray for no injuries next week.
Completely agree. After I was able to clinch that playoff spot, you're completely right. To me, every other game, whether I win or not, I'll be honest, I do want to win, because it'd be pretty cool to say that I was undefeated, because there were definitely weeks where I should have won, right? So in fantasy, is so luck based to see any team be undefeated, I feel like it's pretty cool. I don't think I have seen that yet. So just be able to be to have that title be great, especially because if I lose then the heartbreak will be even more like painful. So I think that's kind of a storyline that I think would be fun for the PDL to have. But
I can confirm, I did have my first year in my work league out of college.
Did you go undefeated?
I set the entire league up, and I talked so much shit, and I went undefeated the entire year. I won the championship, and I walked around. I bought like myself with the winnings. I bought like one of the fancy online belts, and I had it customized for like office and stuff. And I walked around with it in like sunglasses for like two weeks. I just wore this belt everywhere.
You went undefeated at a work. Oh my God. It's unbelievable.
I was talking mad shit too. I like set the league up and everything. And I was the commissioner, and I handled all the disputes and everything. And I went undefeated the first year. And yeah, it felt pretty good, especially because I saw all these people in person every single day.
Oh my God. It makes
just
it so much
talk
better.
Mad shit to them.
Every week, you're like, oh, I'm up against you. All right, I'm gonna fucking wreck you.
Yeah, so it was great. I can confirm that.
No, that's amazing. Yeah, so definitely the bragging rights are there, but you're completely right. My season really doesn't start. Well, you said 2 weeks. This is where I get to brag a little bit. I say 3 weeks because I have that bye, or anticipate to have the bye, but it's really every single week I just watch, not really scores. I just watch for the injury ticker. That's pretty much the only thing. And you never know how it's going to go. So it's really who is going to be the healthiest. And I feel like everyone here has been playing fantasy football long enough to know that that's essentially the factor that, you know, really pushes it over the top. It's pretty much whichever team is healthiest slash has the best depth, not necessarily who is the most top heavy, right? Or maybe the top heaviest team has that surreal luck where no one gets hurt and they can make it all the way to the end. But let's just continue here and talk about a rookie owner named Tanish, who locked up a playoff spot. I believe he is the third rookie owner to ever do this. Brett and Brian were the other owners to do so, which is kind of poetic because he has a lot of players from Brian's team. And so it's kind of it's like a passing the torch, if you will. And that's kind of how it sounded like in the Disrespected podcast from what I've listened to up to this point. But they
didn't
won
Jeff
again.
Didn't Jeff?
Oh, yeah. And Jeff did, too. Yeah, I'm so sorry, Jeff. That was so disrespectful. Maybe I did that on purpose, so maybe I could get him on a podcast with Brian, because he is awesome behind the mic as well. But yeah, so he's still going to be able to cement himself as now the fourth rookie owner to be able to do so, which will be great. But he did defeat Welch and the Dallas Drip. And my takeaway for Tanish here is he's got to be happy with how Flowers is doing, especially because Jackson Smith and Jigba is kind of having that slow start to his career that a lot of people were predicting, especially because he went into a wide receiver room with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf. And so everyone knew that Jackson Smith and Jigba would be a long-term play. So, Greggy, let me ask you a question. Would you want right now on your dynasty team Jackson Smith and Jigba or Zay Flowers?
JSN.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where I lean to still. I was just kind of interested to hear where you would go as well. But it looks like Flowers is being integrated more and more into this offense. And it's really fun to kind of see him with the ball in his hand, because he essentially turns into like a running back. Albeit very, very small and frail, but he's very, very elusive. So I feel like they kind of use him kind of like not gadgety, but definitely as a weapon, because he definitely takes some carries, lots of screens. But one thing I'm getting more encouraged for is he's also getting more passes down the field as well. So I'm interested to kind of see what Tom Onken's going to do. Obviously, watch a lot of Ravens games because I have Lamar Jackson. So my takeaway is he's just definitely has to be happy with how much Zay Flowers has been developing. He was my wide receiver two heading in. And I still have a lot of time to be wrong with a lot of my takes, because boy, oh boy, I was looking at some of my past scouting reports and like big board, and boy, so many whiffs. I have to reevaluate how I do this thing. I suck. But let's jump it over to you, Greggy. What is your takeaway here?
I think Welch has to be pretty happy, or he has to be coming back out of his depression from Lawrence having two good games in a row, because for a couple weeks there, it looked pretty dire. Like Bryce Young and Trevor Lawrence did not look good. And I know you want to say like Trevor Lawrence, his statistics weren't that good, but his like analytics were good. Like PFF had him ranked one of the top quarterbacks, and you know, maybe his wide receivers aren't catching the ball. Maybe the scheme's letting him down, whatever it is. He wasn't putting points up. And the last 2 weeks you've seen it, and he got a couple of rushing touchdowns, which is nice from him, because that's not historically something that he does a lot of. Like five is the most he's ever had in a season, and he's had three in the last 2 weeks. So if he can add something on the ground, I think that's a big positive for him going forward. I think I don't know how you feel about him. For me, I think he's like, I don't know that he's ever going to hit the heights that people thought at this point. I think I don't know that it's a system letting him down or anything like that. Like, I think Doug Peterson's a pretty good coach. I think probably just the GMs and stuff like that in Jacksonville historically haven't been that good. I think he's going to be like a back end QB1 or really good QB2 moving forward, unless they somehow hit on some like crazy wide receiver in the draft. I feel like he's starting to even out a little bit, and I'm losing some of that optimism that he's going to be like the next great one. Like, mm-hmm. Is there any realm in which he unseats Patrick Mahomes as the best quarterback in the league? Like, for me, that's completely gone at this point.
Yeah, I feel like what you're saying is very fair, because some of the listeners might be like, oh, no, of course he's not going to be the next Patrick Mahomes. But what they might be missing is he was talked about very much to be the next one, right? I mean, I knew Trevor Lawrence's name pretty much as soon as he left high school, because he was phenomenally successful and pretty much deemed the next one. And then after kind of seeing him play, I feel like, just like with everyone's career, it's never too black and white. He had such an interesting career arc so far, right? He went to the Jaguars, had the Urban Meyer experience. Everyone kind of says, all right, that season did not count. But it can't be good for your development to have that under your belt, regardless if you want to throw it out or not. And so then Doug Peterson comes to town. I love Dougie P, as I'm sure everyone knows, and does a great job developing. But I do agree, maybe to a point, his system is his system, and you can only go so far. And so it is really interesting to have the conversation, because I agree with you. I don't think he is in the category anymore where I'm like, all right, he is going to elevate and really be that next one. The Peyton Manning, the Andrew Luck, the, you know, Patrick Mahomes. But I mean, doesn't the Jaguars have like one of the best records right now in the AFC? So I feel like actual football wise, he's great. But when it comes to converting with fantasy football, you would like to see more of the marriage, because when you watch him play, you could definitely see the arm, the decision making, and even the mobility. So Man, I'm kind of stuck here because I could definitely see the path. But to answer your question, Greggy, do I see him getting to that level, especially in fantasy football, of Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, like those guys? I'm not sure, but I also feel like it's premature to say no because he's also been playing out of his mind. So I don't know. What would the Jaguars look like if their, you know, second, third best pass catcher wasn't Zay Jones? Not trying to throw any shade to Zay Jones because he's been playing fantastic and he puts more highlight reel catches than almost any other wide receiver that I've seen in the NFL this season. But, you know, that's just what I'm trying to say. Just put even more weapons. But once again, I'm kind of making more excuses for him. And I feel like you don't need to do that with those other quarterbacks. So I know that's a long-winded way to answer your question, but Welch still has to be happy with that comeback because there was very much a lot of alarm bells, especially the first half of the season, where pretty much every single podcast I was listening to and every single tweet and article was, oh man, is Lawrence terrible because he's having a terrible season, right?
I mean, he put up 0.1 versus San Francisco 3 weeks ago. So that's not the great, you know, game that you want to see. But I agree. Maybe I'm like a little bit too harsh on him, but I think my negativity from him comes with, and I've said this before, that he's in Jacksonville. And to me, it's like the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Cleveland Browns, just they're even worse than like the Texans, because the Texans historically have had like relevant players, but those two franchises just, I'm perfectly fine avoiding all players on that team. And as soon as he went there, I'm like, they're going to find a way to fuck this up. It's like, that's what they do. That's their thing down there in Jacksonville, and Cleveland does that up in the North. So maybe the question is, does he leave Jacksonville? And then maybe you do see him ascend to some sort of level, or is he going to be in Jacksonville with like Trent Baalke building the roster with, you know, like questionable players around him and stuff like that. And I don't even think his supporting cast is that terrible. It's just, I don't know. Jacksonville has that stink of mediocrity on them. And I don't know that anyone on that team can ascend to great heights.
Yeah, I feel like I completely agree. I always have that mantra when it comes to fantasy football and certain franchises I don't trust, and I never, ever draft any players from them. Typically, it's a lot of NFC East teams outside of the Eagles and Cowboys, because I know that they can be prolific, but I used to always, or I still do, actively try to avoid Commanders players and Giants players, because I watch enough NFC East games where I'm like, nope. Like, unless you're like an Odell Beckham, or I mean, even Saquon, I mean, they're kind of ruining his career too over in New York. I was like, no, I ain't touching it. And so the other teams they brought up, like the Browns and the Jaguars, similar arguments could be made where they just have the history of not just being able to support the players that they have there. So you make a really, really good point in that. But I guess a little bit of the argument can be, you know, the Bengals are able to turn around, but it took Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and just a lot to be able to make that happen. So I know my example here is an extreme, so it could still happen, but what I'm trying to say is it's an anomaly. It takes a lot for it to be able to turn that way, so it has to be something that Welch thinks about for a little bit to kind of see how it's going to go. So let's just jump over to Steve versus Jeff. What is your takeaway for this game?
I have Bizarro Week written down, so Jeff won. Wait, that's right? He did win. Yeah. No, he lost.
No, Jeff lost. Steve won.
Sorry.
Oh, I was going to say.
Poor Jeff.
The gin and tonic.
He almost won. But I mean, for him, it's on points anyway, so it doesn't really matter. He kept even with Brian. He didn't fall further behind. But I said Bizarro Week because his normal stud players didn't do that well. And his players that have been underperforming, you know, Ramondre Stevenson, 19 points. Keenan Allen at 15. Like, that's sort of in the middle for him. Adam Thielen's been very good this year. He scored 0.7. Christian Watson showed up. He scored 18 points. Kincaid was a little bit of a letdown this week with 9 points, but Rashee Rice showed up with 20 points. So his like up players were down and his down players were up. So if he could put it all together in one big week, I think he could be back in the playoff conversation with Brian, who is currently 30. Roughly 30 something points ahead of him. So he's still clearly within reach in one big week from Jeff and one down week from Brian, and he could catch him. So I think you're glad to see that some of the more unsung pieces on the team perform this week. And you just need your studs like Tua to come back and have a good week, even though the matchup was maybe not that great against the Jets this week, but he is in the division with them, and he has another game against them. So that's something he has to deal with. But I think it's pretty neutral week for Jeff. He didn't really gain any ground, and he didn't lose any ground. So he's still where he was last week.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like Jeff's, unfortunately, he lost, obviously, just by like 4 points. And even in a week where Tua Tagovailoa scores 8 points, he still pretty much put up 130. So that's still awesome. And once again, that's even with Adam Thielen almost dropping a donut too, right? So he still has to feel kind of like that bittersweetness. But right now he's not going for wins. He's just going for points. So even in a down week from some of his other plays, it's nice to know that they are able to pick up the load. But kind of like what you said, if he puts it all together, man, this might be a fun wild card race to look at. But my takeaway is, man, Steve definitely has been blitzed with the injury bug, obviously not recently, but I kind of talked about it in my power rankings. I feel like his IR would be able to go head to head and win a lot of games against a lot of teams just straight up if they were healthy. And so it's really nice to see that he's still able to navigate to that 9-3 season. It's been talked about ad nauseum about his schedule and things like that by Darren, so I'm not going to rehash that. I'm just really going to talk about just the impressiveness that Steve is able to put back-to-back really strong seasons. Last year, I believe he was tied for,
Let's call out the fact that Darren only talks about the positive things that Steve's team has encountered this season. He hasn't talked about any of the IR players he has. Like, he hasn't talked about Aaron Rodgers. He hasn't talked about Nick Chubb. He hasn't talked about Darren Waller, Michael Thomas, Cam Akers, Dawson Knox. He hasn't mentioned any of that. He only really mentions the scheduling thing. So let's call Darren out on that.
No, I completely agree. That's why I kind of put this on the docket, because when I saw that, I had the ability to talk about Steve, because let's be honest, normally it's Darren taking this mantle. I kind of looked around. I was like, man, I know I talked about in the power rankings, but in case people didn't read whenever I wrote it down, it's impressive to see how he is able to navigate things. I know with the amount of injuries that he has sustained and still being able to sit at 9-3, like I was mentioning, this is the second year back-to-back where Steve has been able to piece together a really impressive win-loss record. So regardless of if we like it or not, he's going to the playoffs, and that's all you really need. And from there, regardless of what his IR looks like, he can still be able to rattle off some wins, and we've seen crazier things happen. So I just kind of want to throw some flowers over to Steve, just because he's able to make it and navigate it really well. He's not just losing like, oh yeah, I lost this one flex guy. No, he lost Nick Chubb. He lost some big guys. So it's really nice to kind of still see some of that depth piece help him out, because the big knock on Steve for the longest time, at least on this podcast, is usually his depth has been pretty suspect. So he really was able to shut that up this year. And so of course our podcast has to pick another angle to kind of attack, because that's kind of what we do. We're buttholes. But let's move on and talk about the good old Dubrovnik Dragons and Brett taking on McFaddy and the Hollywood Hustle, where, of course, they came out victorious. So Brian, I'm sure, feels great getting that dub. But once again, I don't think he really cares about winning or losing. He just cares about trying to light up that scoreboard, because like you mentioned, he kind of has a 30-point lead right now or so in that wild card race. So I know he wants to keep that up. So he is in that driver's seat. And so what is your takeaway from this game?
I think Brian's going to be in the playoffs just simply because I have his draft pick. So if he doesn't make the playoffs, that would be a little bit better for me. And I'm not above that. Like, I'm not going to pretend like, oh, you know, I want everyone to win, just have a good time. No, I'm selfish. And
here's the competitiveness that we want. We haven't seen the side of Greg where he, you know, you have an actual team that can win. So it's going to be fun to see this evolution of your reputation in the league, where you're like, all right, I'm going to talk to shit now. Because once again, that's not a side we've been able to see yet.
This whole season is like a roller coaster of, the teams that I have their picks, like Brett and Brian, they're trying to compete. I'm like, oh shit. Now they're rebuilding. Oh, cool. Now Brian somehow gets in the playoffs. Like, oh shit. So it's been
like watching the scores of their game closer than yours.
Honestly, yeah, I am. It's not even close. Like I said, on a given week, I talked about this like 2 months ago. Like, I don't even look at my score. I don't know what I scored. I don't care. I don't know if I won or lost, whatever. It doesn't matter. I look at the picks that I have, because that is what matters to me the most at this point. So I say this begrudgingly, but I think he's probably, if I had to pick which team is going to be the wild card, I assume it's going to be him at this point. Like I said, I think Mike is out of it just because of the bye week situation and Jefferson not coming back. pre-bye week, and I think Jeff still has a shot. If they were even, maybe I would feel a little bit better, but a 30-point gap, it's not insurmountable, but
I mean, there's only, you know, what, 2 weeks left in the season.
Yeah, they've
right?
been fairly even, right? So, like, their team, I don't think one of them has, like, a big advantage over the other. So, 30 points is kind of a big gap in that context. But I do think Jeff has shown some blow-up games so far this year. So, he's had some big scoring games. So, he can definitely do it. But if I had to put money on it, I would put Brian in the driver's seat for that position. So, I think he will make the playoffs, very much to my chagrin.
So I'm sure McFaddy loves to hear that. My takeaway here for the Dubrovnik Dragons and Brett is, I know he was kind of lamenting the fact that he had Higby on the bench after he had like that 2-touchdown game, but Brett should be hyped, because what better way to showcase the amount of points that someone can have than you know, just kind of saying that out loud, because as we know, Brett is in that rebuilding phase. So I'm sure he would be more than thrilled to be able to move Higby. So I'd be interested to kind of keep a pulse on that, because we all know that I'm not saying that Steve is going to, but everyone knows that Steve needed a tight end. And at this point, he's been navigating pretty decently with that one. So I doubt he's going to do anything, but it's just kind of a fun thought exercise to be like, all right, who needs a tight end? Maybe something happens here, because I'm sure that's something Brett would love to have happen. So hey Brett, I'm always helping you out here a little bit, at least this pod, trying to give you some free airtime, a little bit more marketing for your boys to see if you could get something. So if you want to give me a cut of whatever you get for him, no, that's what collusion is.
It worked, but for Logan Thomas.
It did. The power of the podcast, man. It literally happened like the next episode or something. It was wild. And Brian even was like, all right, I'm doing it. And I was like, oh, wow, this is really good for the brand. But let's go over to the game of the week. And it lived up to the hype. It was Darren versus Max. Carolina Thunder taking on the buzzsaw known as the Murphy Street Empire. And like I said, it absolutely lived up to the hype. Unfortunately, Darren fell short, but boy, it was a very, very high scoring affair. So what was your takeaway from this one, Greggy?
I just realized, like, when we were doling out the teams for this, you said you shouldn't take Darren because, you know, you always talk about Darren. And then I realized Darren always takes Darren, so he can talk about Darren. So why shouldn't I talk about Darren?
That's true. Absolute... No one really gets that. Maybe I'm protecting him too much.
You're
maybe
protecting
like,
your,
you know,
boy
what?
Here. So, I mean, I have Max, so I'll stay on it. But I hearken back to what I said. Hearken, Jesus. Like a 18th century town crier.
I love this. No, expanding the vocabulary of this pod.
Yeah, I hearken back to what I said about your team. At this point, Max, I'm sure, is just... I mean, obviously he's happy to get the win, but you just want to get through the week unscathed. And this week he did not get through as unscathed as you did. And I don't think anyone knew it was happening during the game, because I don't know if he missed time or not, but Jonathan Taylor getting injured is a huge hit for him. Although it seems like if they're not putting him on IR, he might be back for the fantasy playoffs. And that does make the bye and thereby this win a lot more important for Max. So we have two more weeks left in the regular season and then one bye week. So if they're not putting him on IR, you would expect him to be back in 4 weeks. So he would probably be back for the playoff game, which is a huge boon for Max. So I think if we're in that context, he kind of did get through unscathed. And then he's in the same mentality where I don't know if he's really caring that much about the score. He's just looking at the injury report and making sure none of his guys blow off their ACL on any given week. So nice to pick up the win, but I think that's not really his goal going into every week as much as it is to not get injured.
No, I completely agree with you there. My takeaway here, of course, is to protect my boy and also talk him up, because that's just what I do. But I looked at Darren's roster, because like you mentioned, he does have a lot of points for it. It's clearly like me, Max, and Darren. Then there's like a big drop off and then there's Steve. So that's why he's kind of been making a little bit of a stinker. But I looked at Darren's roster to be like, all right, how is this team this good? What is really his calling card? What would I be afraid of? And let's use some of the vocabulary you've been using. To much of my chagrin, I realize it's TJ Hawkinson. He is essentially playing that like wild card Joker you know, the cheat code that we used to give Travis Kelce, because right now TJ Hockenson is the number one scoring tight end ahead of Travis Kelce, and he has 15 points more than Travis Kelce, and everyone knows he's kind of having a little bit of a down year, but the fact that he's ahead of him right now is kind of crazy. And that cheat code is the tight end that's in third right now is pretty much a tie between Sam Laporta and George Kittle, who both have about 143 points, and that's like 33 less points than, oh, sorry, I did the math incorrect. 53 more points less than TJ Hockenson. So that kind of shows you the amount of positional advantage you have if you have a tight end that's not named Travis Kelce. So it's this huge advantage that he kind of has in this realm, which is really, really nice to see. And I'm really, really excited to kind of see where this goes, because it's been helping him so much. And we've seen how this advantage has helped Brett so much in years past when he had Travis Kelce as his kind of cheat code. So you would think that with Hockenson losing Kirk Cousins, it would kind of hurt him, but he's been better with Dobbs because Dobbs just loves throwing to the tight end. And I know they just said that they're going to reevaluate the tight or quarterback position right now because Dobbs just threw like four picks, five. He just was terrible. And Justin Jefferson is eventually going to come back, so you would think that he's obviously going to command a lot of targets as well. But regardless, up to this point, Hockenson has just been just so good. Even if he gets a little bit of a knock, he's still so much head and shoulders above most of the Titans not named Travis Kelce. I feel like that is something that Darren has to be pretty happy about. And heading into the playoffs, it's definitely going to be a force unless Justin Jefferson does come in and once again start sucking up a lot of the targets, because I'm sure that's what a lot of the other owners, myself included, are kind of hoping happens to kind of lessen the gap that TJ Hockenson has kind of created himself. So it's really interesting to kind of peek and look at. So with that being said, let's jump on and move and look at what week 13 has in docket for us. First game is actually, it's Darren versus you, Greg. I'm sure you're so much looking forward to when you actually have a team assembled so you can start competing. But unfortunately, right now, you still are that floating bye week, and we have all pretty strongly said, yeah, Darren's going to win this one because you're not expecting to win. But I guess to make this segment a little bit more fun and just think, oh, yeah, it's going to be Darren, let's just talk about, yeah, how excited are you to start actually competing with Darren? Because, oh boy, that's going to have like a bowl name or something like that. Like how college does like the Iron Bowl when it's Bama versus Auburn or something like that, right?
Well, don't you think it's a little bullshit that Darren's schedule gets me on it twice? You want to talk about that?
Should we talk about an
easy schedule?
Should we actually talk about that? I mean, you would think that it was just Steve, but Darren just walked into two free wins. Why isn't anyone talking about? No, I'm just kidding. But you got to be really pumped, though, right? To take on. I can't wait for the amount of shit talking because it's going to be legit. I can't wait.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I don't think it's going to happen next year. Like I.
Oh, no, no. I'm just saying when we get there, I want to jump into a time machine when we're there, though.
Yeah. Well, I have to wait until then, so.
One thing that I hope doesn't happen is obviously there's like different trajectories right now, right? Like obviously Max and I, we're going head to head right now, but eventually it's not going to be that way. And there's going to be different rivalries that form. So I'm hoping that you and Darren just are at least on the same path where they eventually collide and it becomes just something crazy, because even regardless, it's still fun to talk about. So with that being said, next game is going to be the Wichita Whirlwind taking on the Dallas Drip and Welch. And right now, I know Jeff doesn't care about winning, but if he did, we all unanimously picked him. But right now, all he cares about is scoring points. Wouldn't you say, Greggy?
Yeah, I mean, he's not getting on record at this point. I think he's probably mathematically eliminated on schedule at this point too. 3-9 versus Mike is 7-5, so he can't bridge that gap.
Yeah. And so I feel like just kind of being able to look at that is kind of the takeaway. Sorry, I was also reading a work comment, so that's kind of why I got a little bit distracted. So for Jeff right now, just has to hope that everyone stays healthy. And let's see everyone put it together. But I believe you said Tua faces the Jets, right? So what is
That was last week.
Oh, that was last week. Oh, I'm so sorry, man.
He does play him again in like week 15, first week of the playoffs. But
gotcha.
No, Washington this week.
So okay. That should
be pretty juicy.
Yeah. Hopefully that he gets one of those big blow games that we know Miami can have to kind of really close that gap. So That being said, let's jump on to the next game. Southern Oregon Smoke taking on the Murphy Shoot Empire. Unfortunately, this is, doesn't look much of a game because it looks like one team is just cruising into the playoffs while the other team has thrown the white flag for a while. So once again, all of us unanimously taking Murphy Shoot Empire. But I think the more important part is something that we've been stressing a lot. Max is not going to be looking at the scoreboard. He's just going to be looking at injury reports similar to myself, right?
Yeah, especially, I mean, Josh Allen's on bye, so he doesn't have to worry about any of that.
No upset alert there at all.
Jefferson can't come back because he's on bye. So I don't even know who the best player on his team is at this point. Like Puka, maybe Waddle, I guess. So yeah, I don't think there's going to be any real competition here for Max.
Yeah, even if some players pop off for Mike, Max should be more than comfortable with a win there for sure. So let's jump on to the next one. Delco Dreamers, my own team, taking on my bud, the Dubrovnik Dragons, and Brett. We both have a handful of bye weeks this week. I know I don't have Lamar. Actually, the Disrespected podcast kind of went to depth of all the players I don't have. So there are a lot of byes, but I'm still obviously going to take myself here. Right now, I have Desmond Ridder in at the Superflex. So let's see if I kind of keep him in that position because he does take on the Jets. So, you know, maybe I'm just better off playing nothing at all or just a skill position player. But anything else to talk about here, bud?
No, and unfortunately,
You think Brett could do it? There could be a shot.
No. I mean, I like Brett, but I think you gotta, when you start tanking, you gotta reset those expectations. Like you can't go in every week, like hoping for an upset just sneakily because you're going to get let down time and time again. So I'm very depressing. No, I mean, I don't think outside of like every player in his team popping off, I can't really see it. Like he's still starting two backup running backs who are getting less than 40% of the snaps. Dalvin Cook's getting less than 30% of the snaps. So I definitely don't really see it. If I'm Brett, I'm hoping for another big game from some sort of maybe Brandon Cooks, Tyler Higbee again, that I can sell. That's my main goal for the week, is to have one or two players, maybe condense all of my points down into one or two players so that I can sell them.
Yeah, I feel like that is absolutely the route that I'd be looking at too. So Brett, hope you're listening because, you know, Greggy's helping you out a little bit here. But let's jump into the next one. Hollywood Hustle taking on the California Earthquake and Michael. You know, this one could be juicy. We both have Brian, who is currently in the driver's seat for that wild card spot. And we are unanimous here as well, right?
Yeah, Michael doesn't have a second quarterback. So Dobbs is on bye, and he picked up DeVito, who's also on bye. So Josh Reynolds is a super flex against Jordan Love. So
I was going to say, maybe that's where the conversation ends.
Yeah, I think Brian's team has been remarkably consistent over the past month and a half. So I think as much as Michael wants to win, you know, I if I was him, for his roster going into the season, I'd be pretty happy with the three wins. I would be, you know, chalk that up as a W and start, you know, trying to sell some players around the draft or buy some veterans. I don't know. But I don't think he has a lot of expectations here, especially after selling Jalen Warren, who was one of his only really good running back. So with some of the buys, yeah, I think it's pretty much in the bag for Brian.
Yeah. So I know once again, he doesn't really care if he wins or loses. He's just pretty much probably just going to be checking his score as closely as he's going to be watching Jeff's score, just to be like, all right, just make sure I'm not just keeping par with him, but making sure Jeff doesn't just absolutely explode out of nowhere, not having one of those games where Tua throws five touchdowns and stuff like that. So that being said, let's jump over to the game of the week. And boy, this one's going to be a fun one because according to Sleeper, at least when I checked it last here, I should check it again. It was 50-50 right down the middle. And so I'm interested, because this is where I pivoted. This is, maybe I shouldn't spoil it, because let's give this the game of the week treatment first. So, Greggy, do you have that open so we can look at the position battle and give it this special primetime treatment?
Yep. I forgot we were doing this. Geno Smith at Dallas and Mahomes at Green Bay versus Minshew at Tennessee and Pickett at versus Arizona. It's Mahomes. is going to outscore Pickett and Minshew combined, I would assume. So anything Geno Smith has on top of that would be...
That's just icing.
Would be nice. Yeah, I don't think there's a lot more to say on that. It's clearly Steve and Tanish is going to have to... If he wants to make any sort of run, he's just going to have to hope for like 25 points combined from his quarterbacks and then just make all of it up with his skill position players. And yeah, speaking
one,
of...
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, go. No, no, I was just going to say one cool thing about Minshew, though, is he has shown an ability to get some rushing touchdowns. So I was going to talk him up a little bit, but then I went to go check his game log. And yeah, it doesn't look that great. Yeah, it's like that one game where he had like 30 points. But other than that, he struggles to break double digits. So yeah, I agree with you. There's not much to take away. Mahomes is most likely pretty much going to be able to outscore both of them combined. Unless Pickett has another one of those games where he, you know, explodes. But even the game where they exploded this
another one of those
11 points.
He hasn't had one of those.
Yeah. I was like, hold on, wait, the Steelers just had like, what, 500 total yards? Pickett must have had a great game. And I looked, I was like, oh, okay, he didn't have more than 12 points. That's how does no, that
we,
happen?
We kept fumbling the ball. And then we have guys like Deontay Johnson who just stare at the football as it bounces past them.
I can't believe that.
Walk away.
Yeah. Dude.
Fucking
I did not hate Deontay Johnson at all. And I was like, you know what? I could lean into this and maybe buy the dip and buy Deontay Johnson because I have Greggy here doing propaganda against them. And I was like, oh, I'm totally going to do it. And then I kind of listened to what you're saying. And now with all this coming, I was like, you know what? Greggy's probably right. Why would I not listen to the
It doesn't show up on the score sheet, but like in that drive, he, on his first catch, he had it at like the line of scrimmage. It was a screen and he caught it. And okay, going 0 yards. But instead of going 0 yards and just diving down, he ran backwards.
I saw that. Yeah, that was like backwards. Wasn't that like the first drive? I think. Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, I was watching it on Red Zone, and I saw it happen. I was like, what the fuck is he doing?
Why did he do – it looked like he tripped, but no, he just ran backwards. And then his second one was a complete drop in the end zone, and then he was mad and salty about it because the ball got knocked out.
And, he was
and
just
then the next play was the fumble, and Jalen Warren fumbled in the red zone. And then he just stared at the ball bounce past him. He's like, ah, I don't really give a fuck anymore. And he's getting paid a lot of money to not give a shit on a team that – the Yinzers are going to absolutely be out for
just
blood.
Part. Yeah.
If, yeah. Can't do that. Like they're not happy with him. So anyway, I like that good detour to shit on Deontay Johnson. He is who I thought he was.
Yeah. Unfortunately so. So what does the running back battle look? Hopefully a little bit closer.
Yeah. So we have Charbonnet in the, well, I assume the bell cow role. I don't know about Kenneth Walker, actually. Can you look that up while I'm doing this? See if he's practicing
yeah,
or not.
Sure.
Charbonnet at Dallas, Pacheco at Green Bay versus Tony Pollard versus Seattle and James Conner at Pittsburgh.
Walker missed practice and his availability is in doubt, by the way. Sorry.
Yeah, but Dallas is not a good.
No,
that's not a good.
They're a buzzsaw.
Matchup anyway. I honestly think I'd probably take Tanish here. Pollard has been looking a little bit better. Like he has touchdowns in back-to-back weeks. I don't know how much you can bank on a touchdown every single week, but Seattle hasn't been playing that well, so maybe they get ahead and run the ball. And James Conner continues to be underrated, and he gets volume. He's not going to score a touchdown every single week just because that offense is bad, but I expect him to be near the end zone. And I actually think the Kansas City game, low-key, is going to be kind of competitive. And I think Kansas City might have to keep passing to stay in the game with the way that Green Bay's been playing over the last few weeks. And it's a Monday night game. Or sorry. Monday morning for me. Sunday night for you guys. Because it says Monday 2:20 a.m. So I'm like, oh, Monday. It's going to be rainy. And if it's rainy in late November, early December in Lambeau, I assume it's going to be like cold. So cold, rainy,
maybe even snow.
I think, yeah, which would lend itself to running, but I do think Green Bay's been playing really well. And I think Love's going to put up some points on Kansas City. So I'll lean Tanish here, but it's close. And I really do like Charbonnet, but it's a bad matchup for him.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I think it's really, really close, but I also give a slight edge to Tanish with Pollard and Conner. Just Conner just being very dependable and Pollard. Yeah, the past couple of weeks, he's looked a little bit more spry, definitely making fantasy owners happy. So Yeah, very slight edge. How about the wide receiver room?
McLaurin versus Miami, Olave versus Detroit, AJ Brown versus San Francisco, and Tanish has Amon-Ra at New Orleans, Ayuk at Philadelphia, and JSN at Dallas.
One quick update. He will not have Olave. He is already ruled out for Sunday with a concussion.
Sleeper has not updated that. So who does he have another?
Oh, wait. No, just kidding. Just kidding. I was reading the from 3 days ago. That's on me. That's okay.
Well,
so he's still questionable, but there is a chance that he misses. But that's why the reason I bring this up is I jumped over to the bench of Steve because he has a slew of injuries. And that's what I was just going to add. The reason I want to bring up is I'm sorry. Chris Olave is not confirmed out. That's just me spreading false news, but he's very much in doubt. And it's in the
very rare that you have a 1 week turnaround.
Especially with concussions this year. And so if he were to miss, you are absolutely right, Greggy. He literally has no one right now.
So if we're assuming he's out, and I'm probably leaning that direction, just if we don't have an update, it seems like you miss a week most of the time.
Yeah. So he has to drop someone, I'd imagine, and pick someone.
Yeah, drop up like a – he's going to pick up like a Devontae Parker, I guess. So that's not great.
Yeah, that changes hasn't been great. A little bit, right?
Yeah, for me then, at that point, I would probably take Tanish's side because A.J. Brown's matchup's not that good versus San Francisco. I know Philadelphia is good, but San Francisco's been really good recently. And Ayuk has been good as well. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think there's a massive gap between A.J. Brown and Ayuk, which might sound stupid. But Amon-Ra also, I think he hasn't put up less than 10 points yet, like 11 points is his lowest on the season. So he has blow up games and he's also consistent. And McLaurin, the Eric Bieniemy offense just does not hyper target specific players. No matter how good you are, he's just going to spread the ball around because you got to make sure Byron Pringle gets targets. If he doesn't get targets, you're definitely not going to win the game.
The system breaks. It doesn't make sense. It reminds me of gym class where you have like everyone has to touch the ball at least once before you get a touchdown or something like that. It's kind of what Bieniemy does.
Oh, you went to some fucking special school. We didn't have that.
They're like, we need participation. We're like, oh, God, now we have to kick it to this guy.
Oh, we definitely didn't have that. But, and that also, the team also, I mean, they fired so many people, right? Like, Jack Del Rio's gone.
They're kind of,
I mean, it's on the defense, but that's not good for team morale and stuff. And Miami has been shellacking bad teams. So I know that's that it lends itself to a passing game, but I think they might just get completely blown out. So not that in on Terry. So yeah.
Would it change if Chris Olave does play? Or are you just saying you give Tanish a slight edge regardless?
Is Carr playing still? Carr wasn't injured, right?
Yeah, no, he's fine.
He just looks like shit.
Yeah, he just looks like who we think he is.
I would probably take Steve, because the drop-off between Olave and Devontae Parker is basically an entire Olave. Picks up,
Yeah,
so I would lean Steve, but it's close if Olave plays. And then it's Tanish clearly for me, unless he makes a trade. He could make a trade, but if he picks up Devontae, I'm putting Devontae Parker in Olave's place. And for me, that's Tanish pretty clearly then.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with everything you said. I feel like the next one's going to be pretty easy, the tight end room, because we all know the status of Steve's tight end room.
I'm going to say that T. Hudson is his name. Tanner Hudson. Do I know that?
Yeah. Tanner Hudson.
Tanner Hudson. Okay. I'm very good. I knew that name.
Professional.
Is he he's listed as third on the depth chart, but it seems like he's getting more snaps. So, no, he's not. He's only playing 30%. He's only playing 30% of snaps. Against Jacksonville and then George Kittle against Philadelphia, even though Philadelphia's good. Is there linebackers? Is that a weakness? Do they give up a lot of points to tight ends?
Yeah, we give up. I think they said we give up the most points to tight ends. I'm pretty sure I read that somewhere, or I'm just
That takes it from definitely Tanish to super definitely Tanish.
Oh, and we just lost Cunningham too. Like, our linebackers were already sus, and that's why we're having Shaq Leonard come in for
him. Man, it must be like something in Pennsylvania, because the Steelers linebackers are fucking dropping off a cliff too.
Yeah, well, not only ours, because we had so many linebacker injuries, but like they weren't that great to begin with. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, yeah, ours like, weren't either. So
so it's like a weakness.
We lost,
and now
we
it's
lost Cole Holcomb. Cole Holcomb was our stud linebacker.
And now you guys are in shambles because you lost Cole Holcomb.
We brought in Miles Jack from retirement.
Oh my God. Yeah, so we're kind of in the I guess Pennsylvania does have something. We hate linebackers, but yeah, it's Kittle easy. And if let's say that for whatever reason Steve decides to pivot off of Hudson, even though he's been clearly the best tight end on his roster, the only other guy he has is Washington from the Steelers, and Freiermuth is the guy there. So Washington
is Schoonmaker, but he's in his flex.
Oh yeah, I was just gonna say. Yep,
that's not a big upgrade though.
So actually, let's talk about that then. The flexes here. I feel like this one's super easy, especially because of the development of what's happening in Indianapolis.
Yeah. AJ Dillon versus Kansas City and Luke Schoonmaker versus Seattle for Steve and Jeff. Or Jeff, Jesus. Tanish has Devin Singletary versus Denver and Zach Moss at Tennessee, which is not – Tennessee is a very bad matchup for running backs. Like their defensive line's very good. But he's probably going to get all of the carries there. And if Schoonmaker catches a pass, it's going to be – there's about – based on his previous stats of the season, there's about a 50% chance he catches a pass. So
one thing I want to bring up is Zach Moss did play Tennessee in week 5, and he dropped the 30-burger on him, 32 actually. Not saying he's going to do it again, but, I mean, he was successful that one time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still picking Tanish either way. So,
yeah, for sure.
I don't know. There's a lot to say here. Like, unless is Damian Pierce coming back, I don't. Even if he is, I think Singletary is still going to get most of the work anyway. Or he was back last week. Apparently, he only got 20% of the snaps.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I completely agree. I feel like all said and done, it sounds like you have a lot more on Tanish's side, and that's who Darren picked as well. So both of you going Tanish and. Nor I had Tanish in as well, but I have to pivot because I have to have a chance to try to catch you. So I'm going to pivot and go Steve. So I guess the story to kind of see how this works is I'm really hoping that Patrick Mahomes does exactly what you said, scores more than Minshew and Pickett combined. And I really need to hope that the Seattle Seahawks puts up a big fight against the Dallas Cowboys on Thursday night, and Charbonnet and Geno Smith are a part of that. It sounds silly to say out loud, but hey, if that happens, let's do it, Steve. Let's help me get back into the race against Greg, as he is super pulling away. But man, that was a fun one, Greggy. What have anything else to add, bud?
Not really.
Looking do you not care about the playoff race? That being a serious question, because like I know you're not in it, and that same thing happened
like
to Darren.
PDL
as soon as Darren was out, yeah. Because as soon as Darren was out, I was like, I don't care at all.
Other than people with my draft picks not making
that's
it.
That's all you care about.
Yeah, I really couldn't give a shit which one of you guys wins.
No, that's fair. No, that's completely fair.
I mean, honestly,
I'd be done.
I have been like trailing off on Red Zone. Like I have sometimes I don't even make it to the second game anymore. And then this week I'm going to be in Austria. We're going to Vienna for Saturday, Sunday. And a concert starts at Sunday 7:30 and the game starts at 7. So I'm not going to see a minute of football this week. And then the weekend after that, I think
we're probably not even upset about it.
No, I don't really care very much. Weekend after that, we have, I think, a birthday party. And then the weekend after that, we have a Christmas party. And then I'm going to Estonia for Christmas.
So your football season has already ended.
Pretty much. Like, I might not see another down of football for the rest of the year.
But how many mock drafts are you going to be reading in that time frame?
I read a lot of them. I mean, I've been reading them since last year. Like last year I was looking at predictive 2024 mocks after I traded out of 2023, so I had to do something to keep my
attention,
myself
yeah.
busy. I told you, but I do have a guy. Like there's a my guy this year in the draft, and I will not leave the draft without him. If I have to take him, it seems like at this point I'm gonna have 1, 2, and 4. Like,
so you're very confident that you're gonna walk away with him then. You get to choose.
Yeah, I mean the top three.
You're going to tell us after you pick them then.
Yeah. I mean, if I make the fourth pick, that would be who he's going to be. So it's not one of the big three guys. And if Welch, who has the third pick, wants to take my guy over like Marvin Harrison Jr. or Drake May or Caleb Williams, then he can do that. And I'll take the one of the leftover guys at four.
Ooh, or are you playing mind games because one of the three guys you just mentioned is your guy?
No.
You could be playing some 4D stuff with us, Greggy.
It's a, done it before. I'm not Darren. I'm not dishonest Darren. So I know I'm not going to play that game. I think the top three is pretty set. I think this sort of second tier of guys is a little bit more open at this point. Like I expect Jaden Daniels to rise a lot in the pre-draft process, and quarterbacks will kind of rise up like a super flex draft pretty quickly. So yeah, I don't know. Be interesting to see. And yeah, even my early second round picks, I'm pretty excited. I think there should be some good wide receivers there available for me. So yeah, my focus is pretty much on the draft at this point. And just because of scheduling, I don't even know that I'm going to get to watch a lot of football anymore. My redraft league, I'm in the playoffs, but it's a ridiculous league. I think I told you this already. 8 out of 12 teams make the playoffs. So I don't even get to buy. So there's no motivation for me. And it's not like a super serious league, so I don't even care that much about it. So
how bad do you have to be in that league not to make it if 8 out of the 12 make it? Like how bad? I mean,
you
got to
be one of the guys who just like doesn't set his lineup week to week.
Doesn't do any waivers. He just like, all right, yeah, this is fine. Whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, last year I got eviscerated. Like my first 5 picks last year were on IR. They were out for the season.
Oh my God.
Like I didn't have anyone last year. So this year I'm cruising a little bit better, but yeah, I'm not super motivated anymore. And I don't know. Hope you guys have a good week this week. I will be in a concert hall.
Heyo, that sounds like fun. I will most likely, of course, be watching every single game or as much as I possibly can with a lot of anxiety, just keeping a good eye on all my players to ensure that they don't die.
Just have an ISO cam on Christian McCaffrey's knees.
Oh my God. And Shanahan's like, you know what? You know, we're up by like 15. So that means McCaffrey, you're just going to touch the ball every single play.
Got to get him that record.
I'm like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? Don't do this.
Like, I don't care about the record.
I'm like crying. He already has like 19 points. And I'm like, dude, I don't care if he gets a touchdown or not. Just stop it. And like Christian McCaffrey was trying so hard, like his heart out. And I was like, oh my God, you're going to
against
gonna,
like,
that pop
like
an Achilles
goal line
or something.
Defense, like those 300 pound guys.
Yeah,
like
all it takes is just them landing on him and boom, he separates his shoulder. Now he's out for like 3 weeks. I'm like, oh my fucking God, don't do this to me, Shanahan. But you live or die by the Shanahan. So, I'm okay with it, but I completely agree with you. For me, it's kind of like the opposite. I don't pay attention at all to anything of rookie stuff because everyone gets rookie fever, whether they want to admit it or not. And I get it pretty bad. And the longer I can keep it off, the better. Cause obviously right now, all I want to do is win this championship this year. I feel like I'm investing almost too much in ruining the future plans I had with this team just to kind of make it happen. And then if I fail, I'm going to be devastated, but regardless, I know this offseason I'm going to try my hardest to get into the draft, and I already know how hard it is, and I know I'm not going to be able to because there's already a perception of how old my players are, past their prime. Everything is completely legitimate and true, so I'm not going to be able to really be able to trade into the draft and get, you know, a premium position where I'll feel happy with. So I'm just like, oh my God, is this really going to be the year where I really fully don't pay attention to the draft process or as long as I can and really just be like, oh, well, I don't have anything. But it's funny because it's kind of the same situation as you, except for you, you don't care about what's happening right now in the PDL or the playoffs. And that's all that's driving me. But that's why it's good to have you on here, Greg, because now you provide that extra, you know, point of view for us. So with that being said, guys, thanks for jumping along. I gotta make sure that the Wi-Fi doesn't mess up, but I'll make sure to edit that. But until next time, guys, take care. All right, now that's a wrap for this episode of the PDL podcast. Thanks for tuning in, guys.
See you guys on the next one.